Welcome to Inside Pop, the weekly podcast that dives inside the world of pop culture. I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson. We're going to fill you in on the pop culture we care about and you need to know about.
This week, we have you covered with the latest pop culture offerings that everyone is buzzing about. Netflix's Luke Cage, Solange's latest album, and Ava DuVernay's powerful documentary.
I have not experienced a week so rich in wonderful pop culture in forever. All that plus the next big sell in our Big Sell 30-Day Challenge.
Forward, always.
Always forward.
On Inside Pop. Well, we must start with an important documentary that we just had the exclusive opportunity to see called 13th. It is written, directed, and produced by Ava DuVernay, who everybody knows from Selma and Queen Sugar on OWN. She is an incredible director and writer and producer, and we had the amazing opportunity to see this important, moving, and emotional documentary.
Yes. One of the reasons why I'm glad I'm a Producers Guild member, because we get the opportunity to see films before they're released and quite often hear the creators talk about it. So that felt like a real special privilege. The focus of the film is looking at mass incarceration in the United States. It begins with a fact. It's actually President Obama's voice delivering this fact that the United States of America has 25% of the world's imprisoned population. We're just a small pop. What is it? 5%.
5% of the world's population,
but we contain 25% of that. So the film starts with that fact, but then gives you the entire history of this country and how it relates to the justice system wreaking havoc on the black community over and over and over again, leading to this crisis of mass incarceration we're experiencing today.
There's so much to learn and so much to be educated on in this film. There's so many interesting voices. Henry Louis Gates is in it, you know, activists and just so much.
Jelani Cobb, Angela Davis, just really smart, wonderful, passionate people who have been fighting and educating for years about this topic.
Definitely.
So, one of the first things I want to say, Amita, is, and I've said this before when we were talking about Beasts of No Nation, which coincidentally was also released theatrically and on Netflix, which is what's going to happen to the 13th. I feel like there are still people I speak to today about Beasts of No Nation, and they say, yeah, I didn't see it. It just seemed like it was going to be so hard to watch. Stop it, I say, with some tough love.
Seriously.
Stop it. And I fear that people might feel the same way about this film. Either, oh, I don't need to be depressed, or A, this seems really hard, or oh, is it going to be that interesting? This film is so powerful. It has, yes, there are lots of facts. There is a history lesson, but it's so compelling. And I'll say I was in tears during that screening. There's a section of the film where I was just overcome by emotion, and it was raw emotion. And I felt sadness and despair and anger. And yeah, those are tough emotions to feel. Mm-hmm. But what a powerful experience to have a film bring those emotions up.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I love about the medium of film. When you can have that sort of visceral feeling when watching something. And, you know, credit to Ava DuVernay, because she gave me that feeling when she made Selma as well. And I think she's such an incredibly innovative and strong director. And I think this did the same thing. I got extremely emotional in certain parts as well. And I just, you know, it got angry. And I'm like, you know, at a certain point, you just hear so much from all of these people. And you're just like, why is our country so messed up? And it gives you so much anger. And it makes you want to just like throw something or move out of the country and just say, screw it. But that's not what this is about. And it's about, you know, spreading the message, learning, educating yourself, educating everybody around you, and doing something about it. And I feel like at least at the end, you have this feeling of, okay, what can we do to make this better?
Yeah.
What can we do?
And at the end, you know, there is, I think it's a really nice shout out to the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes.
And it's just one of the wonderful things this film does is just trace a line of history. You know, sometimes it's a horrible history of economics being more important than human rights. But mm-hmm. sometimes it's an empowering history of the resistance. There were always people resisting the inhumanity that was forced upon Black mm-hmm. people, the injustice that was forced upon us. And so there, the Black Lives Matter is, I think, at the end of the film presented as a continuation of the work that Malcolm and Dr. Martin Luther King and countless of other activists, you know, the work that they performed, Black Lives Matter, is still doing it. And I'll say that, if you're hearing me say Black Lives Matter and mass incarceration and you're like, well, really, what is this film about? It just makes so much sense. It's mm-hmm. this main thesis, and everything that's mentioned in the film is tied together and it makes so much sense. And so obviously this is just from both of us a big, big, big push to get you to check this out. This isn't our big sell segment, but we're definitely big selling you on this. You can see it in the theater, which I recommend, because seeing so much of, even the way she shot those interviews, Amita, don't you think those
beautiful.
Were beautiful?
So yeah. Beautiful. She, like I said, her eye is really fantastic, and I see it in everything that she does, and I really do appreciate her really just taking the time. She said that she started, she did a Q&A after our screening, and she said that she started making this documentary after the press, you know, cycle of Selma, which was
1 week after.
A week after, right. Yeah. And that was in last year, so 2015, probably February 2015, and came together with this incredibly, I mean, it's just like a history book, frankly. There's so much archival stuff of, you know, of things from the 50s and the 60s and even before then, and all of these interviews. I couldn't believe how she put this all together in such a short period of time, and it's so well. And then on top of that, you know, it's weird to tie this into her other current project, which is Queen Sugar, but she clearly has a passion and is on this platform of making sure that she is speaking to the community about mass incarceration. And she's done something really smart. And as you said, not everybody might want to say like, well, why should I watch this? And do I need to watch this? Well, if you don't feel like you need to watch this, you can watch Queen Sugar and you'll get a lot of that theme in Queen Sugar in one of the storylines. And
you have to watch it. We're not giving them a pass. You have
no,
to watch this
documentary.
No, you're
not going to get a pass.
Right.
But if you're watching Queen Sugar, you're already learning about it. And if you want to learn more about it, you should watch this film. And I love that she just kind of inserted that there, and it was pretty darn natural the way she did it. And I think it's going to continue throughout the season. And I love that she did that too.
And what you're talking about is a plot line where one of the siblings is mm-hmm. A journalist, and she's reporting on a certain aspect of incarceration that's happening in the area in Louisiana in which they live. So,
right.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's, I think Queen Sugar is, I know Queen Sugar is my favorite drama of the moment. I think it's so well done. And actually, I think there's so many things that are similar, themes, in The 13th, this documentary about mass incarceration, and this family drama on OWN. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of similarities. You know, there's the one that you just pointed out about injustice and unjust treatment mm-hmm. of Black people. And again, I think my takeaway from The 13th is, but there has been resistance. There will always be resistance. There will always be a fight against sometimes overwhelming odds. And you definitely get that in Queen Sugar, that this family has a lot to deal with mm-hmm. and they may not have all the answers, right? Like they're all flawed and they're all trying, but they're not giving up. They're fighting on.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, props to Ava. We love you and we love what you did with this film. Please, please C-13th. It is released Friday, October 7th in theaters, which we highly recommend you see it in the theater, and also on Netflix. And if you can't see it in the theater, go see it on Netflix. And we definitely highly recommend seeing Queen Sugar, but we'll save that conversation for another time because we love the series so much, and maybe we should wait a few more episodes to really dive into that one.
I have some very profound things I want to say about Queen Sugar, but I also need to talk at length about the beauty of every single one of those cast members.
As do I. Future husbands, people.
I think
future
gonna,
husbands.
I think we're going to fight over a few of these future husbands.
Whatever, you have a husband.
Let's keep, I believe in polyamory. So let's keep this conversation elevated, though, shall we? I'm responsible
we
for
shall.
The tangent.
We shall. Okay.
Well, moving on. Have we mentioned that this is our all-black episode?
No, but we should right now.
The resistance will be televised. The revolution will be streamed. Yes, this is all of these wonderful, amazing things in black culture this week, this weekend, happened to the stuff that's catching our attention. Not a coincidence. All happened to be wonderful creations by wonderful black creators about interesting black issues.
Yes.
So
our next
the
favorite,
ride continues.
Yeah, and our next favorite thing to discuss is Solange.
The new Solange album came out
yes.
on Friday.
Released Friday, September 30th. It is called A Seat at the Table, and she could sit down anytime she wants. Like, this was amazing. I really loved her last album, and it had been a long time since she put something out, and I was super excited to hear that something came out from her, and I just ate it up. Like, it was on repeat all morning yesterday.
Yeah, this album is a revelation. I think that I think I've said this before, but I'm all about melody. I want my hip hop to be melodious. I want my rock. I want my R&B. Melody is so important to me. And this album has some of the most beautiful melodies and some of the best lyrics I've heard all year.
Yeah, she actually, I think I tweeted about it. I felt when I was listening to it, I felt like this has just like throwback soul. That was kind of what came to me when I listened to this. I don't know how to describe it any other way.
Yeah, I was, you know what, when I read your tweet, I thought, like, do we, like the way that all that great music in the 90s was started to fall under the umbrella of neo-soul, someone coined that term. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, I don't know if we need it, but I like labels. But is there, I wonder if someone's going to coin a term for, I think about the Frank Ocean album. I think about the Blood Orange album, both of which will definitely be on my top 10 list at the end of the year.
Right.
But because along with the great music, there's this political and social consciousness. I think that the Solange album,
yes.
I tweeted out hashtag right on time, because as we were just talking about, the world right now, the world for black Americans right now is a travesty. It's frightening. It's a horror show. And I think musicians are responding. This album is definitely of its time. I'm going to read something that Solange said about this album. Solange has declared a project on identity, empowerment, independence, grief, and healing.
Wow.
So all of which we are all experiencing right now.
Yes.
In this country. And so the music's great, and I just think that kind of it's like this one thematic statement on the state of being black and being a black survivor and being a black female survivor in this country in 2016.
Yeah, it's so funny when you said, I'm going to read something. I was like, I was going to read something. And it wasn't that, though. So
okay.
I will read something. So I guess she completed the album right before her 30th birthday. And she posted something on Instagram about it. And she wrote, don't ever let anyone write your story for you. Mm-hmm. They can talk, they can doubt, and they can say what they want to. But only you have the words to narrate this thing we call life. So much gratitude for all of your wishes. So much gratitude for love. So much gratitude for freedom. So much gratitude for life.
Favorite songs. Cranes in the Sky is absolutely one of my favorite songs. The melody's beautiful, and the lyrics are so great. I feel like this is one of the songs that's maybe less overtly political and more inward. But it's those lyrics about, you know, I tried to dance it away. I tried to buy it away. I tried to sex it away. It spoke to me very clearly and directly and wonderfully just about the coping mechanisms that we choose and how sometimes we don't choose the right mechanisms, but how eventually you figure out how to heal and get it done. And that felt like, you know how you sometimes, Amita, you feel like there's a song that was written just for you.
Oh, and, yes. We've discussed those.
It feels like that. And I also love FUBU, For Us, By Us.
Oh, FUBU. I texted you about that one. FUBU, I loved Borderline featuring Q-Tip, An Ode to Self-Care. That was so great. And I love that she did, you know, there's obviously always going to say, when you say Solange, you think Beyonce, they're sisters, obviously. You know, it's not that she did anything to echo anything from Lemonade, but there were some type of feeling that I got from it because she had all these interludes, which, you know, Beyonce did the poetry of Worse and Shire in her Lemonade digital visual video. But in a weird way, Solange kind of did a left turn on that and had all these interesting interludes. And some were of, I think one of them was Master P. One really wonderful one was from her mother, Tina Knowles, which I just ate up. I thought that was so powerful and so important.
You know, I was going, you know what? I almost texted you. There were a lot of almost texts that happened this week. I was almost going to, I almost texted you because actually, you know what? I'd love to do this at some point in the future. Can we, in a future episode, do a segment on interludes, pro or con, because I definitely have feelings about interludes. For example, on the Frank Ocean album, I've started listening to it on Spotify, and guess what song I've taken out of my playlist?
Interlude.
Be Yourself, where the mother just starts telling him what to do. It's like the first couple of times, it's great, but Amita, do you need to hear that every time you listen to the album?
You don't. Okay, yeah. I get it for that. I get it for that purpose.
So let's have a conversation
about
interludes, because, like, listen, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is still...
I was just going to say that one.
One of the greatest albums ever created. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hear those interludes ever again.
Oh my God, L.
Nope, don't need it.
E, what's that spell? Love. Come on.
Shut up, kids. I want to hear Lauryn Hill. Okay, let's get back on target.
Please.
I'm such a grumpy man. No, but let's have an interlude segment. I'd love to do that.
Coming soon to Inside Pop, interludes.
I'm sure you guys can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be fantastic. So, A Seat at the Table, Solange, please check it out. We love it. We're going to have it on repeat for a while. And thank you, Solange, because I didn't know how much I missed you, and I clearly did.
I'm declaring September Black History Month because the great pop culture in this month continues. On Friday, not only did Solange drop her new wonderful album, but Netflix dropped all 13 episodes of the first of hopefully many seasons of Marvel's Luke Cage. For those who listen to the podcast, for those who know me in my IRL, Power Man and Iron Fist was one of my all-time favorite comics. Maybe I will Instagram a photograph of myself holding a Power Man and Iron Fist comic book that I've owned for 30 years. You guys might get that. Anyway, I was so hyped for Marvel's Luke Cage, just like to please the 10-year-old Sean Johnson. This is one of those cases where I'm two episodes in. It's better than it needs to be. It's so good. What do you think, Amita?
It's really good. Let me just tell you guys, first of all, Sean has been talking about Luke Cage for weeks, and I'm like, Luke Cage, okay, what's this Luke Cage? I don't know. It's Marvel. That's cool. It'll be great. I didn't watch Daredevil. I didn't watch Jessica Jones. Should I be watching Luke Cage? Do I have to watch those first? And this is what my head went through, and it's like peak TV, y'all, and I'm watching everything else.
Yeah.
All right.
We came upon the series in two very different
yes.
perspectives.
And then my editor was talking about it on Friday, and he's like, I need to leave here soon because I got to go watch Luke Cage. I was like, well, we got work to do, so you can't. And then he was like, but you don't understand. And I was like, I kind of do. And I was like, because Sean keeps talking about it. He's like, look at the trailer. So then he shows me one of the trailers, and I was like, oh, hold on. All right, they had a really good trailer for this.
Yeah, the trailer was perfect, on point. Yeah. Yes.
And I was like, okay, and all these people look gorgeous, and I want more, and I want to see what's going on now, so let me give it some time this weekend. I had barely many plans this weekend, y'all. I was a homebody, and I watched two episodes of Luke Cage, and I am hooked.
You know, to call back to our conversation earlier, in terms of something that's right on time, and to kind of tie all of this together, what do we need now more than a story about a bulletproof black man? Right? Like after watching 13th and just turning on the news every day, just the fantasy that there is a black man that cannot be shot.
Seriously.
Is a powerful image, which I'm appreciating.
For sure. That's a good, that's an amazing way of putting it for this period of time that we're living in.
You know, so far, I think everything's just being done so well. The actors are great. Alfie Woodard, I don't think has ever delivered a bad performance.
Nope.
And then, well, let's talk about the lead, Mike Coulter, who you know him from The Good Wife as well. I've never seen him in that. But he is so charismatic and... like, you believe, I mean, of course there's the physical stature, but I think just the way he acts, you believe, like, here's this man who has these abilities he doesn't want and is haunted by many horrible things in his past and has this major wonderful turning point early on in the series and makes decisions and is inherently a good person. And is a bookworm and looks good in a t-shirt and a suit.
And without a t-shirt.
So a shout out to the showrunner. I, you know what, straight male, thank you for realizing that there are going to be a lot of women and gay men watching this show who will appreciate Mike Coulter shirtless. And you know what, I don't need it every episode. Let's, you know, let's everyone stay calm, but you know, if you give that to me every other episode, appreciated, thank you.
Spoiler alert, you'll see it in episode 3, Sean.
Noted.
I know
who you want to talk about.
Mahershala Ali.
Yes.
Yes, he's great. I mean, he's dirty and he is mean and he's awful in so many ways, and he's just like this huge awful character, but he's really good at it. Like, really good at it.
He doesn't have superpowers, but I'm afraid for everyone, including Luke Cage, because he's going to go up against this guy.
Yeah, he's no joke, and is just like, just so power hungry and doesn't give a F, seriously. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that evolves. And what I didn't think that I would love about this, and I didn't even expect, was the music. It was such a beautiful surprise to see Raphael Sadiq performing a song in the first episode and Faith Evans in the second episode. Faith Evans, y'all, she looks good. She sounds great. You got to see that.
Yeah, the music is actually, the music supervisors are Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad from A Tribe Called Quest. You know how I feel about that.
Yes.
And every title of an episode is titled after a Gangstar song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is a little bit of trivia. So they really wanted, I think, Harlem to be a character, which so far it looks to be. Just like, oh, the streets and the alleys and the diners and that music club. And I think they also wanted the music to also be, you know, another character in the film that it feels like a film in the show that drives the action and the mood. Oh, it's so well done.
It really is. It really is. What I will say is I also noticed how they really do like highlight the music, you know, and it's like, I mean, now I'm going to tell you and you're going to think it's obvious, but I felt it was so subtle. Like, you really heard, I think, the entire song that each of those artists sing in each episode. You don't just hear a little bit of it and it goes away. You know, they really do like honor the performance and the music of whoever is in each episode, which I kind of give them props because I enjoy that.
Yeah. I believe there is a official playlist on Spotify. I'm not sure if it's the official soundtrack, but it's an official playlist. So if you're loving the music, it's a mix of some of these songs that are performed in this club and also just some, I mean, UNITY from Queen Latifah. There, Can I Kick It from A Tribe Called Quest?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can.
So, yes, you can.
And, you know, I started to watch the third episode. I know we were trying to try to watch this at the same time, but I got ahead. And I got a little bit into the third episode, and there was this singer that I didn't know who he was, but Charles Bradley has a song in the third episode. I had to look him up because he was great. He gives off so many vibes like James Brown, and it was so good. So good.
So I'd say that, you know, as someone who on his 40th birthday, his partner went to a comic store, bought a Power Man Luke Cage action figure so that he could put it on top of my cake for my 40th birthday. So that's where I'm coming from, and I'm giving the show a thumbs up. And from Amita, who, you know, was hesitant and not super curious, she's also giving a thumbs up. So I think anyone and everyone in between would also like it.
Yes. And it's just added to the long list of things that I am watching this fall season, which is a great tease to discuss what we'll talk about next week, is all the things that we're watching this fall TV season.
Shall we remind our listeners once more, we are in the midst of the Big Sell 30-Day Challenge very quickly. We are asking you, and it's not too late if you're just hearing about this now, come on in. The water's fine. We are asking you to experience one piece of pop culture, something new, every day throughout the month of October. A new song, album, music video, poem, anything that's popular in the culture. So, and we're helping you out. So just go to our website at insidepoppodcast.com. And we have suggestions all up on our website at Pop Insiders. We tweet out our suggestions. We're getting great suggestions from other podcasters, from listeners just like you. They're coming from everywhere.
They really are. And I think we've already gotten a couple people to check out some of our first couple Big Sell 30 Challenge suggestions. So we're really, really excited to keep this going. And today's Big Sell 30 Challenge comes from Sean in the Big Sell segment of our episode. Who would have thought?
Little old me. Okay, well, in keeping with the theme of the show, which is black awesomeness, let's call it that, I am
black
going to...
Black excellence.
Black excellence. I am going to Big Sell something I've been waiting for about 6 months. Ta-Nehisi Coates, one of our great black writers, black minds, author of Between the World and Me, is writing a comic book, Black Panther. And so what a pop culture gift. Like, one of our great black thinkers takes on one of the great black superheroes and writes this really compelling storyline. And just last week, the first six issues were compiled into a graphic novel. So my big sell to all of you guys is Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates and illustrated by Brian Stelfreeze. The art is amazing. If you were at all entranced by Chadwick Boseman's Black Panther in Captain America Civil War, you should definitely check out this. Because you know what? It's like high, low art, whatever. It's like, so here's like one of our great intellectuals taking on a comic book, and the results are really, really great. I just started reading it, and I'm already all about this book. So A Nation Under Our Feet, Book 1, is what you can Google. Obviously, Black Panther, Ta-Nehisi Coates. So go to your local comic book store or go to Amazon and check it out.
If you guys don't know, Sean and I Skype our recordings, and he can't stop looking at this cover while talking to us.
I'm just going
to
put it
above.
He's
staring at the cover. Can I see it? Can I see it at least? Oh, wow. It's wonderful. Okay. I can't stop staring at it now either.
Yeah. The art's amazing. And there, you know, and in this collection, you get a lot of bonus things like a map of Wakanda. which is pretty cool. And, you know, different sketches as they were trying to figure out what they wanted this version of Black Panther to look like.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's just great. And I would like to big sell that to all of you guys.
What an interesting combination of Sean, David Johnson, this one big sell is. I don't know if you guys know Sean. I'm sure you have from listening. But the man loves himself some Black Panther. He was agog during the Black Panther segments of Captain America Civil War. He raved about Ta-Nehisi Coates and loves his writing. And he is a comic book fan. He can't wait for the Black Panther film. I mean, it's just like, this is Sean David Johnson in a book.
I feel like it's being done for me. What did I do to deserve this?
Well, we just need a soundtrack for it. That's all. The soundtrack to Luke Cage, you should listen to while reading Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
I'll do that. Thank you for that recommendation. That sounds perfect.
I didn't want to step on your big sell toes, but I just wanted to make it perfect for you.
You have.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Thank you so much for listening to us once again on this episode of Inside Pop. And as always, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders, and check us out and check out all of the Big Sell 30-Day Challenge on InsidePopPodcast.com.
We've also started taking advantage, slightly, just dipping our feet into a lot of water imagery today coming from me. We've just been dipping our toes into the pool of InstaStory. And
yes.
Yeah, so check out our Instagram feed, because we're becoming a little bit more daring with InstaStory.
My hair's got to be correct every time I come out with you now, because there's going to be an InstaStory.
I just need to find my good angles. I feel like I've been shooting myself too low. So
you can only shoot me from the left side like Mariah.
So, yeah, if you want to see how vain and narcissistic we are, come to InstaStory. So we're having fun with that, obviously. That's what one does, social media, to promote our podcast. It's our way of just kind of staying in touch with you until the next episode. Also, speaking of next episode, we have a number of special episodes coming up with the hosts of some of our other favorite podcasts giving big sells. So look, make sure to check your feed for those.
Yeah, we have some really great conversations with the Tone podcast, as we said before, and the Test of Time podcast, and we're hoping to get some more really fun people to come join us and discuss big sells for the Big Sell 30-Day Challenge.
Don't come if you're not fun.
Yeah, what if they're cute and not fun? Okay.
Then...
All right, I really need to stop sounding so desperate. It's time to go, and we love all of you guys, so send us some love on social media. #BigSell30, and we're out.
Peace.